self-examination. And here's what I want to ask. Why did you come here today? Now, don't give me an answer. These are just questions for you to think about and questions that you need to examine as we go through this. Why are you here today? Now, I am 53 years old, and I'm going to tell you that for the majority of my life, the reason I was in church is because I was made to go to church. Some of y'all here this morning probably made to come to church. As I got to be a teenager and as I got to be a young adult, I didn't go to church. You know why? Because I didn't have to anymore. I wasn't living in my daddy's house. I didn't have to go. So I didn't go. But then as my first child was born, and I said, wait a minute, I have a responsibility to teach her the things that I want her to learn. And that number one thing was I wanted her to know how great God is. And I wanted her to know the love of Jesus. And so I had to begin to examine myself. And you know what? I went back to church. And before you know it, I got faithful. I was attending, teaching Sunday school class, taking my daughter, my infant daughter to church. All the church thought I needed to be a deacon. And then, I was ordained as a deacon. And before you know it, I kept serving the Lord and felt the call to pastor, ordained as a preacher, pastor, whatever you want to say. Church, listen to me this morning. But so many times I went to church out of obligation. Even whether it was a child or whether it was an adult, I went out of obligation. And the one thing that I forgot to do, I forgot to go and expect a blessing. You see, this morning there's probably a lot of people that are sitting today that are here out of obligation. Well, the right thing to do is to go to church. Well, I'm going to go to church today because that's what I've always done. That's what we do in the South on Sundays. Amen. We go to church. And people that don't go to church, we kind of look a little different at them. Let's just be real. So a lot of you this morning are here out of obligation, but did you come here today expecting a blessing? You see, that's one thing that will change within the church is when we come with an expectation. Did you come expecting to meet Christ here today? Did you come expecting to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit? Did you come today out of obligation, or did you come saying, Lord, here I am in need. Meet me there today. We are in need of revival. Did you come today with the expectation of, hey, I want to change, I want to be different when I leave out of here at 1:45 today than I came at 8:45? See, it took some of that to get y'all there for a minute, because now then you think, oh, wait a minute, this dude's going to preach for the next 3 hours? It may. So I'm going to ask, if it takes that long for you to look at things different when you leave here than the way you came in, are you willing to stay? You see, out of obligation, we start looking at that, and by the way, I don't wear a watch, and it took me 2 Sundays here to figure out where the clock was at. Y'all are sneaky. But here's the thing. You come with that expectation. There's no spontaneity in the Baptist church anymore, because if the preacher's not through at 11, then we get a little bit antsy. But you know what? If the preacher might preach to 11:05 or 11:07 or 11:10, the Holy Spirit may come and things may change and we might have church. But because we're in a hurry to get out of here, then we may miss what God had intended. Did you come with the expectation of, hey, I'm going to receive a blessing today? I'm going to be a blessing today. And did you come saying, I need revival? Or did you come saying, boy, the church needs revival. The community needs revival. Listen, friends, this morning, as we go through this passage in Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, it's not about the group. It's not about the community. It's not about the church. It's about, I am in need of revival. Third challenge for you this morning as we get into this message is, will you be obedient? Will you be obedient at the end of the day? If revival is to come and we begin to see a church grow and flourish as you get ready for the next pastor, will you be obedient? So you see, this morning in the Valley of Dry Bones comes this question. God asked Ezekiel a question. Can these bones live? In other words, can there be life brought back? And so I'm going to ask you this morning. Some of you say, oh, well, some of you have already turned me off. I'm here. I don't need life. Really? I'm going to challenge that this morning. You see, possibly some of you have been dry for a very long time. Maybe some of you are stuck in a spot and you need to change course. Maybe someone is here this morning and you have forgotten the joy of salvation. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. In June of 1977, I walked downstairs and I asked my mom and I asked my dad about this idea of being saved. And my dad took me to the kitchen table and he opened up his Bible. My mom was sitting there and they began to share with me John 3:16. Began to share with me about the love of God through His only begotten Son. And I prayed and asked Jesus to come in my heart, the dining room table, in June of 1977. And I was so excited. I wanted to tell people. So I got on the phone and I called everyone I knew, phone calls. I called my grandparents on both sides and told them that I got saved. Friends, I remember that jubilation. I remember that joy. And I'll also tell you that I remember that there were days that I wasn't excited. There were days that joy left me. There were days that it wasn't great to be a Christian. There were days that seemed like that I was so far from God that I would never find Him again. But I'm going to tell you, joy comes in the morning. And I found that joy again. And some here today possibly has been so long since you have been joyful about being saved, that maybe you are the dry bones. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you say, well, it sounds like you're giving an invitation before you ever get started. I am. There may be someone here this morning that has never experienced the joy of salvation. Well, guess what? You too are in the valley of dry bones. Stay with me this morning as we honor God's word. As it's read, as hopefully you will hang on and buckle your seatbelts as we get ready for a very fun, exciting passage of Scripture. If you're following along, verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a rattling. The bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, flesh grew, skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. And He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as He commanded, and the breath came to them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Father, this morning, I pray as we stand in the valley of dry bones, that Father, that we will hear your word. And Father, we pray that your spirit will come from the four corners. May you fill this place as you've never felt, never filled it before. May we know your presence is here. And Father, as we go about this message today, as we work through your living word, that Father, that we too will stand as an exceeding great army. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may be familiar with this story, because when I was here last month, I had mentioned to you about preaching on this passage of Scripture. And some of you said, hey, our Sunday school lesson was about that this morning. And immediately some of you came to me with the song, knee bone, thigh bone to thigh bone. And y'all got, excuse me, y'all got a little bit excited about hearing this message. Well, this message today is about bringing life into a church. This message today is about where there was once life, it had now died, and life was coming back. If there was ever a time where we see the church, we see in verse 11 that God said, hey, Ezekiel, this is Israel. This is what it looks like. You guys have been dead, and I'm going to bring life back into you. Baptist, hear me today. If you're listening, say I am. If there was ever a time that life needed to come back to a group of people, it is today. If there was ever a time where there needed to be vigor in the church, it is today. If there was ever a time that vitality needed to return, it would be today. And listen, I know some of you probably have not heard the word vigor or vitality in some time, and you probably even think that vitality is a men's hair care product. But I am telling you that what we need today is people that are excited that they have been born again. They are excited that they are redeemed and can hold that note for 39 seconds. You need to be excited of who you belong to. Not who you are, church, but whose you are. There needs to be excitement that must return to God's people today. And if it doesn't, then guess what's going to happen? We are going to be the valley of dry bones. Church, it is time for revival to happen. And I'm not talking about somewhere else. I'm not talking about some other church. I'm not talking about some other county. I'm talking to East End Baptist Church. I am talking about remove the coldness, remove the rigidness, remove the dryness. Church, it is time for life to return. Listen, do you know what most people refer to as Baptist as? Y'all ever heard the term the frozen chosen? Huh? You have it? Now you have. You see, that's because that we're so, what's the word I want to use here? We have to be so reverent. And we're so stiff. And we're so regimented. We're so ritualistic. Everything is in its place. Listen, if you and I are not going to be dry, if we are not going to become the valley of dry bones, the first thing that must happen is you and I must realize that we are dry. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3. It says, listen, there is a valley of bones. What did he say? They were very, very dry. If you and I are going to have revival, then it must be you, it must be me, it must be us collectively that said, hey, listen, I am dry. I am in need of the breath. I am in need of revival. To your own self, you must be true. It's not about sister so-and-so sitting on the other side of the church. It's not about the brother who's not here. Listen, it happens everywhere I go. People come up to me and say, I sure wish so-and-so was here today. If you're sitting here this morning wishing that someone else was here, you need to hear me this morning. You're the one that's dry. Hello? You see, God intended exactly who he wanted to hear the message to have here today. Not someone else, not some other church, not some other denomination. I am talking to you. I am talking to me. Listen, you and I must understand today that if we are going to get over this condition and see revival, that we must say, I am dry. Let me give you just a couple of examples, if I may. What in the world would happen in the East End Baptist Church if someone said something different beside amen during the message? What would happen if someone would say hallelujah or praise the No, I want you to be free. I don't want you to be dry. Heard a story one time about a young man took his young son to a Pentecostal church. Now listen, y'all have to understand, I'm going to qualify this because I know this is on social media and someone's going to say, well, that guy, he just thinks Baptist is the only way. So I'm going to qualify this for you. My grandfather, Southern Baptist preacher, and he married a Pentecostal girl who had two brothers that were Pentecostal preachers. So I think I have a little bit of freedom to talk about the Pentecostals because I understand. And so let me just tell you how much I understand. How many of y'all know what the Jericho March is? Anyone? Well, if you've ever been in a Pentecostal church and they get up and they start running around church, that's the Jericho March. And so I heard a story one time about a young man that took his young son to church, and Sister Smith and Sister Susie got up and started running around the church. And the little boy said, Dad, why aren't you running around? And he said, well, Sister Smith and Sister Susie, they like to run off the Holy Spirit, and I like to just sit here and take him all in. Listen, Baptist, it's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to clap. It's okay to stand up. It's okay to come to the altar in the middle of a sermon or in the middle of a song. It's okay to have some spontaneity in the service. You don't have to have a rigid program. You need to have enough flexibility that when God shows up, that it's all about Him and all about His time and all about what He wants to do and not the structure or the program of the church. Listen, this is His bride. It's not yours. And so this morning, if we're going to see revival, we must realize that we are dry. I'm going to give you another example. Baptist life, we have a disease called same old disease. How many of y'all got the same old disease? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Y'all got it in the same old car, drove the same old street, came in the same old door, went to the same old class, did the same old thing, got here in the city. Listen. Some of y'all been sitting in the same pew every Sunday that I've been here. What in the world would happen if this group sat over here next Sunday and this group sat over there? What in the world would happen if we just change things just a little bit and get rid of the dryness and get rid of the same old disease? We have the same old program. We do the same old songs. We do the same format. We do the same thing every single week, and you expect to get out at the same old time. I've been preaching 15 minutes. I ain't got through my first point yet. Y'all better hang on. I'm going to. If revival is going to take place, we must realize that we are dry. Our spiritual life has been put on autopilot. We're fine with ritual. We're fine with routine. We're fine with the rut. And I'm going to tell you something today, church. The greatest thing that needs to happen this morning is every single person in here needs to admit, I am dry. The first step to recovery is to admit that I am dry. Let me give you an example, a biblical example. David said, Lord, it's not Bathsheba. Lord, it's not Uriah. David said, it is me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. The prodigal son was feeding pigs, and he said, oh, wait a minute. This ain't right. He said, I am the one who left. The servants in my father's house have it better. It is me, O Lord, that left. I want to go back to my father's house. Some of you this morning need to stand and say, it's me. It's me, O Lord. It's not your mother. It's not your father. It's not your brother. It's not your neighbor. It's not your wife. Say, it is me, O Lord, standing in the need of the spiritual breath. Point number two. If we're going to get over the dry bone syndrome, then we must hear the word of the Lord. Notice what it said in verse 4. You see, this is not just some points that I made up. This is straight from Scripture. Verse 4 said, the Lord told Ezekiel, prophesy again. And he said, listen, what happened? The bones heard the word. God told Ezekiel to preach to dry bones. Couldn't imagine. Standing out in the valley. God said, start to preach. What? Not the first time that happened, did it? God told Noah, preach. He did for 120 years on deaf ears. How many sermons have you heard? Fall on deaf ears. Dry bones. You see, this morning you must hear the word. Replace routine, replace ritual, replace the rut, replace it with the word. He said, well, Brother David, you're preaching the word. I am. But you see, this morning, you need to hear words that bring strength and bring life, bring vigor, bring vitality back to the church. Words like Psalm 37, it said, I am old. He said, I've been young and now I am old, but His righteousness has never forsaken me. Words like Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Southern Baptist Convention and lean not on your pastor's understanding. Is that what it says? No, it says lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Romans 8. What does that word tell us, church? It said, if God be for us, who? Come on, finish it. Who? I believe with all my heart that God is for His bride. I believe with all my heart that God is for the church. And the church has a place. But I'm going to tell you, brother, I'm going to tell you, sister, there's a day that's coming and coming fast that the bride's no longer going to be here. But right now, there's still an opportunity for the bride to be alive and to be well. But you see, the bride is the valley. What is all? Everything. What do you want to do, church? What do you want to do? You want to sit here this morning and wait on a pastor to come and tell you what to do? Brother or sister, you are the dry bones. You this morning, what do you want to do? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. I can witness. I can share. I can give. I can minister. I can meet the needs. I can do that. You can do it. And friends, this morning, if you're waiting on someone else to do it, then you are the dry bones. If we're going to solve this issue, here's point number three this morning. Dry bones must respond to the word. You must realize that you're dry. You must hear the word. And thirdly, this morning, you must respond to the word. Notice what the bones did in verse 7. Notice what they did. He said, I prophesied as I was told to. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And I looked at that noise, and guess what began to happen? Bone came to bone. And they stood up. They were clothed, if you will. They were ready for battle. They responded to what God said do. God said, stand up. And when they stood up, God put sinew on them. God put flesh on them. And they stood there waiting for the next command. Brother and sister, this morning, you must respond to the word. Guess what happens? When we respond to the word, no matter your condition, no matter, God will bring life back to you. You ready for the truth? Say, I am. Some of you not ready. Dry bones. The church has reduced hearing the word to what goes on here Sunday at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to tell you that God's word, God still speaks on Monday at 8 a.m. just like he does on Sunday at 10 a.m. God speaks on Saturday at noon just like he does on Sunday. God speaks to his people who are willing to hear and willing to be obedient. God speaks. Are you listening? I'm going to give you an example. My second church that I pastored was in Greers Ferry. And my grandmother lived south of Pine Bluff in a little community called Sulphur Springs. That's where I grew up. My mother died when I was 8 months old from leukemia. And my dad remarried. She was the only child and I'm the only child. And so after my grandfather passed, I drove from Greers Ferry to Pine Bluff every Monday. Spent the day with her, mowed the yard, did maintenance on the house, all those kind of things. And one Monday morning, I was at the gas station in Bee Branch, Arkansas. And I watched a man get in his ashtray and get out change, and he counted it, and he went in, and he paid 59 cents was all that he had for gas. And I'm going to tell you, it is as if God himself was standing at that gas pump. I'm telling you, it was as real as it is. Today is Sunday, and I'm wearing a white shirt. I'm telling you, it was real. And I heard, put gas in his truck. And when the man came out, I asked him, I said, can I put some gas in your truck? He said, you don't know how much I appreciate it. I'm trying to get to work. I put gas in his truck, he went on his way, and I went on to Pine Bluff. And you see, it was that experience, coupled with many other things, that I began to realize that God speaks. And I failed to listen so many times, and I missed the opportunity to be a blessing. See, I asked you this morning, why did you come here? Did you come here out of obligation, or did you come here to be a blessing? Did you come here to get a blessing? You see, this morning when we're obedient, now listen, I tell you these personal stories, not because I have it all together. Listen, Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Well, Paul, excuse my English, Paul ain't never met David Holcomb. Because he and I would be rivals in that category, amen? So don't think that I'm some kind of Christian, because I'm not. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Those days that I wasn't in the valley of dry bones, those days that God was breathing and speaking, listen, life was there. But you see, I've been in the valley of dry bones far more than I've stood waiting on the breath of the Holy Spirit to come through. You have too. You're just not willing to admit it. So you see, this morning, if we're going to have revival in East End, you got to realize you're dry. You have to be willing to admit it. I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You have to respond when he speaks. And I'm going to tell you this morning, God may be speaking to you, and you probably will turn around and walk right out that door, and you gave the response, whether you want to admit that or not. But here's the fourth thing that I want you to see. Dry bones must be filled with the Spirit. 9 and 10 of our text this morning. Verse 9, verse 10. Notice what it says. And he said to me, O son of man, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these. And I prophesied, and breath came. Church, this morning, if East End Baptist Church is the valley of dry bones, then you must be filled with the Spirit. Stop and examine just a second, if you will, the valley of dry bones. They were once alive, and they died. And God came along and said, you know what? I'm going to breathe into them one more time. And the Bible said they stood up and was an exceeding great army. You see, the exact same breath that came into that valley that day, the exact same spirit that was there with Ezekiel is here today. Can you believe that? It's here today. The exact same spirit that shut the mouth of the lion with Daniel is here today. The exact person who was in that furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is here today. The exact same spirit that breathed from the four corners on the valley of dry bones He's willing, he's able, he's here to breathe in East End Baptist Church. Now, friends, if that don't give you chills up and down your spine, then I'm going to tell you something today. You are dry. We're suffering from dry bone syndrome, and I'm going to tell you, the solution ain't Gold Bond. And I'm sorry that I've used ain't twice today already. I usually don't do that. But I'm trying to make my point. You see, after my mother died, I lived with my grandparents until I was 3 and my dad remarried. And I had the privilege of living with my grandparents. And right next door to my grandparents was my grandmother's mother. She was born in 1900 and died in 2004. She lived alone until 2002, and she broke her hip, and she didn't recover. So for 102 years, she lived alone. And so I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can look at me right now and tell you, I don't know, she used lard every day of the week, and I miss it so much. Amen. She lived to be 102. I don't know if these folks know what they're talking about. But let me tell you something that Granny did. Right beside Granny's sink was a bottle of Vaseline Intensive Care. And after she washed her dishes, pump, pump, and she took care of her hands. You see, I'm going to tell you something today. Church has gotten to the point that we want to pump, pump, just put a little moisturizer on it and walk on out the door. I'm going to tell you something. The condition of our society today and the condition of the church is not a temporary fix. It's a fix that only the Holy Spirit can give if you're willing to admit that you are dry. If you're not willing to admit it, then there's no repair. So I'm going to ask you this morning, really simple. Can these bones live? And some of you say, oh, we already got the answer. Because verse 10 said that God breathed into them and they stood up and they were a great army. I'm not talking about the bones in Israel. I'm not talking about the bones in Ezekiel 37. I'm talking about right here. Right here. In East End Baptist Church. Can these bones live? Can you come together? Bone to bone, person to person, can you come together and function as an exceeding great army to win this community for Christ? Can these bones live? You see, friends, I firmly believe in the God of the Bible is the God of the church today. All you have to do is let him be who he is. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Let's pray. You see, this morning, this message is personal. Because there were many years that I went without willing to admit that I was dry. There were many years that I went, I didn't hear the word. many years that I never responded. I knew what I should do, but I never responded. And one day, life came back. And I'm going to ask today, maybe you are just like I was. I wasn't willing to admit it, but I finally said, I am dry. I finally heard the word. I finally responded. Now you're to the point where you say, God, will your spirit fill me? If that is you today, you can be a catalyst for revival in East End. You can be a catalyst for revival in this church. And I'll promise you, if there's one or two, there's going to be others that God's going to breathe into, and you're going to stand as an exceedingly great army. Father, this morning, you are the only one who knows every heart here. You're the only one who knows the need of every individual. You know who's dry, and you know who's heard, and you know who's being obedient. And Father, we ask today, will your spirit come upon this church as they did in that valley? And Father, as you come here this morning, may we see great things happen for your kingdom's sake in East End. Have your way in this invitation. And we ask these things in Jesus' name as we stand to sing one number.